Kingdom greetings, everyone. It's good to see you guys again. Welcome to God's house. Please, if you don't have any present obligation, we ask that you stay in fellowship with us, all right? And one of the things Aaron said during his announcement, I want to put some emphasis on that again. We say we need you. We want you. We want your help. We hope you can, you know, find where you can serve, you know. In a family, everybody's got responsibilities, okay? Everybody's got chores. It's the same thing for God's family. You know, we all have responsibilities. Does anybody have a testimony? Something they, you know, God's doing in your life, a revelation the Lord's giving you? Okay, Jenna.
I just want to say thanks for your prayers.
Okay.
My children are here, my grandkids will be praying for
check, you. Check. Okay, there you go.
Like the psalmist said, let everything that have breath, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I join him this morning to say thank you. Those of us from third world countries, it's difficult to come to America. And I tell my people, since we know the Lord, don't be anxious to come to America, but to go to heaven to where Jesus is.
That's right. Where I like that. So that's good.
I just want to thank God that Nathan went and brought my two grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And during that, and
welcome.
And during that time, my son also came for training. He works at the American Embassy in Liberia, and a group of them came to Arlington for training. And he, George, when I got him last night, to come and fellowship with you. By the grace of God, God took us through the war, and he was able now that he's, his name is Abel.
Abel. So his name is Abel.
Abel, and he's, by the grace of God, he's able to be a worship leader at our church. So I just want to thank God. Thank you. He has brought me 42 years. He has not failed me. Jesus Christ is Lord, my people. Let's hold on to him.
That's right.
Come one may. Come one may. Becky, take courage. Some of our children back home, some of them are still, you know, shying away from the truth of God's word and from Jesus. So our prayer is that all our children and family will come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is good.
Amen.
I say, God can even a good can I good can I describe him? He is extravagantly good.
That's good. The word
that's
good cannot
describe. That's why we make his praise.
That's good.
I say, let's make his praise glorious.
That's good.
Make his praise glorious. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jenna. I like that. Jenna says the word good cannot describe God. You know, he is extravagantly good, extremely good. That's a good thing. You know, thank God for where you live, because, you know, sometimes I think we forgot. We still live in a blessed country, you know. I saw something yesterday. We were at a prayer movement in Pongo, and the lady had a shirt that says, normal is not coming back, because I've heard a lot of people say, you know, man, you remember when life used to be normal, when things were, because some people think, well, right now, maybe it's a little abnormal, you know, and, it, you know, we liked it better back, you know, back 35 years ago. It looks like people were a lot nicer, but the shirt says normal is not coming back, but Jesus is. You know, so I was just like, I got to get me a shirt like that, because, you know, I haven't prayed, but I've heard people that, who prayed, you know, God, you know, but bring America back to you. But I tell you, things are not going to get better. Life is not going back to when you could leave your car unlocked and don't worry about it. Those are times we experienced it was good, hallelujah. We'll never be back to that those times again. But Jesus is coming back. I visited Matthew chapter 24, 22, 23, 24, 25. I read that. I listened to it. I'm like, wow. And I encourage you, homework. Read Matthew 20 to 27. But stay there in 24. Matthew 24. I might bring a message like that. Normal is not coming back, but Jesus is. Because it's just like stuck with me. It's just like, wow, that's a good message. All right. So this morning, I want to take time to talk with you. And once again, welcome to God's house. We're glad you're here. And welcome, guys. It's good to see you again. If you're visiting first time, hey, we're happy that you choose to worship with us. If you're watching online, we pray that what's happening here is blessing you where you're at. Okay? So the title of my message today is, I'm going to continue from what I started last week. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does fearing God means? What does it mean in daily experience? For you and I, daily experience, what does it mean? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is the foundation. The Bible is what we need. So therefore, I open it, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit would take what belongs to you, God, and reveal it to our hearts. Lord, we open our hearts. We accept your word. We believe it. May these words that are coming out of my mouth, anoint them, Lord. Teach me first, and then your sons and your daughters. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen. So my text is, I'm going to pull from Acts chapter 2. You remember Lloyd talked a couple weeks on Acts chapter 2. But there is so much. And I encourage you guys to read Acts, the book of Acts. I've read it a couple times already since Easter. And it's just so rich. I'm going to go to verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you have your Bibles, remember, once again, I'm going to tell you, it's good to have your phone, your Bibles in your phone. It's amazing in your iPad. It's great, but make sure you invest in a physical Bible, you know, a market. You know, a good Bible is a Bible that's worn out. It's a Bible that's got, like, lines. It's a Bible that's got written, you know, like, notes. The page are maybe a little torn a little bit because, you know, you're doing this every day, you know. It's, you know, a good dish is, the best dishes in your home are not the one in your china. They're the one you use every day. Those are the happy dishes, you know. So it says in, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe, meaning a deep sense of reverence, a deep sense of respect, was over them. And the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and sharing everything they had. They sold their properties and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes, house to house. Some other translation says they met from house to house with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodness of all people. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Okay? So, in the same chapter, go back to verse 17. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Hear that? In the last days? Are we in the last days? Yes, we are. God's promise is, I'm going to pour my spirit on all people. And he's doing it. Watch out. That's why I think, even for some of us, I encourage you guys a couple weeks ago, maybe last month, to go watch the Jesus Revolution movie. As soon as I can have my hands on it, we're going to show it here. We're going to have a movie night. Because I think it's very powerful. Because back in the days, Kendra, you found the book, right? Kendra's reading the book. Back in the days, people judge others. You know, it's like, you know, some people, we think they look weird. You remember, you know, back in the days, like in the 60s, guys who rode bicycles, you know, short sleeve shirts and tattoos, everybody thought those guys were straight from hell. the religious people. They discarded them. Be careful so we don't do that right now with people. We don't discard others because of the way they look, because of the way they act, because of the way they dress, because of their skin colors. Okay? But it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Prophecy here in this word, in this context means revealing God's intention for the moment. That's why I declare on the young people here, listen, prophesy. Speak the word of the Lord. It says your young men will see vision. And your old men. Any old men we have here? Hallelujah. We'll dream dreams. I said, Lord, if I'm going to dream, please give me your dream. Okay? Give me your dream. I don't want to be dreaming about crazy stuff. In those days, I will pour my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. Oh, men and women alike. Some people forget about this verse. Men alone? No. It says men and women alike. And they will prophesy. Verse 19, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and sign on earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. I tell you, the book of Revelation is full of that. Verse 21, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus! Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you call out Jesus? Jesus! There's a story. The story during the earthquake. 2010. Here people, they do medium. People do voodoo here too, but they kind of make it look like a culture thing. You'll be surprised. People are wide open to demonic influences, and they think, well, it's Halloween, it's culture. Be careful. Don't open yourself to that stuff. So in Haiti, even the witch doctors have a Bible. So sometimes before they do their ceremonies, they've got different verses. I don't know what verses they find, but they find something to tell. But one of their saying is, God is always before us and the spirits are behind us. So they worship the devil. They're bringing sacrifice to Satan, but they say God is always first. Okay? So there is this witch doctor, after the earthquake, over 250,000 people died in Haiti. That goes to tell you. The earthquake happened around 5 o'clock, and there was a soccer game. So a lot of people were inside their homes watching soccer game. Church activities, a lot of churches, school in the afternoon. And most of the houses, you guys remember seeing it on the news. Most of the houses are built with concrete, concrete roof. They built a second floor. Some of them were three. Our church was three stories. 60 people died at our church alone, including the pastor, okay, and his wife. So the earth is shaking, People are calling Jesus, because you're afraid. They're afraid. When you find yourself in a situation that caused you to be desperate, whether you know it or not, the first name you're going to call is the name of Jesus. Because whether you're aware of it or not, salvation is only in the name of Jesus. But unfortunately, not everyone who calls out to the name of Jesus, Jesus knows them. I'm not talking about when you are facing an earthquake to be calling out Jesus and you think the earth gonna stop shaking. But then the rich doctor and his servant, while the earth was shaking, the servant was very trying to be, the rich doctor is around. He didn't want to call out Jesus. So he was calling one of the spirit was Oguferai, like Jezebel. It was just one of the spirit they worship. So the voodoo priest's disciple was called, the earth is shaking, you know, and he's calling Jezebel. He's not calling out to Jesus. He's calling out the name of the evil spirit. And then the witch doctor slap him. He says, you better call Jesus. Jesus. It's Jesus to call. It's Jesus to call right now. You know, it's like, stop it. Jesus. Come on, man. We might die here. Jesus. The witch doctor. That goes to tell you. Did that make sense to you guys? Did you understand the story? It's the witch doctor's disciple wanted to stay devoted to the satanic spirit. But then the witch doctor right there was trying to tell him, when the rubber hits the road, Jezebel won't save you. Satan won't save you. Satan already knows he's going to hell. And therefore, he's like, I ain't going alone. I'm bringing everybody as I can with me. That's what it says here. Anyone who calls out to the name of the Lord will be saved. And I tell you, call to Jesus. Call for Jesus before you're desperate. Don't wait for trouble. Get desperate for him right now. Call out for Jesus. Lost your mind for Jesus. I love to see those guys in football games, you know, or soccer games. When you remember when your team score? Remember how we go? We all have it. Some of you seems very quiet, you know, chill. But I tell you, I know. I've seen you. Even if I haven't, I know how you do. Screaming, yelling, jumping, getting all excited. Get excited for Jesus. Because Jesus is exciting. It says, all who call, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is good. Verse 29. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure. You read already, but let me jump to verse 32. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he's exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us. More than ever, you need to continue to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide my hands, guide my feet, guide my thoughts. Lord, I give you full access in my life. But I like this. Peter's words pierce their heart. And my question for you, have you ever heard a sermon or a speech or a devotion or reading your Bible and you feel your heart is being pierced? It's good. What do you do when that happens? You don't have to answer me, but it's a question for you to think about. What do you do? Here, there's a great example when that happened. Because people, those people who were listening to Peter, they said to Peter, what shall we do? You're not meant to be, it wasn't meant for you to try to do life by yourself. That's why COVID, the spirit of COVID, when I'm talking about COVID, COVID came with a spirit as well, a spirit that isolate people, a spirit that disconnect people, a spirit that get people to just remove themselves from society. We lost two of our people we knew we used to do mission trip with. Husband committed suicide because he was depressed, and then the wife 6 months later killed herself because she couldn't bear it. You know, it's like tons of people we hear, young kids, adult, teenagers, you know, it's like, it was devastating. So when you hear a message that pierced your heart, continue to repent. If you don't know what to do, ask. Talk to me. That's one of the reasons we give time to, you know, for you to come to the altar. And many times I've said it here before, when you come to the altar, there is no condemnation, you know, because sometimes in our mind you think, well, this person came and kneeled down at the altar. He must be really dirty. He's going through some tough time. What a sinner. You messed up. I messed up. We all messed up. We all need Jesus. Oh, where's the, I've said, saw a shirt too. Donna has a shirt like that. You all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And Peter says, what you must do when you hear something that pierced your heart? Repent. Repent of your sins. Turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And I hope everyone here is baptized in water. If you say you are a follower of Jesus, you must be baptized in water. Okay? The promise is to you, your children, and those far away, which includes us, and all who have called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. I thought about this. I'm like, you know what? I really preach short. Because Peter had a long message. People stop him during the message. What must we do to be saved? What must I do to have experienced peace? Have you been trying to move mountains in your life? Have you been trying to even sleep at night? You know, here in this country, people don't sleep. But do you also know your mind being occupied all the time will cause you not to sleep? Do you know that even if you're waking up at 6 in the morning to go to work, if you don't schedule your time to go to sleep, relax, and turn your phones off or whatever you got to do to make your mind quiet, cause your mind to be quiet. It's not easy. And then I read verse 42. A great sense of awe, the fear of the Lord, what does it mean? You guys, there's another homework. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 18. Exodus, you can write that down. I want you to read that. The Ten Commandments. God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. Can anybody remind me one of the Ten Commandments? Okay. Well, let's do this. Exodus 20. How about that? Listen to this. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Egypt here means slavery, being in darkness. And I place you in liberty. First, you must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. Wow. God's telling the people, I am your God. I am the only one you must worship. You guys can read the rest. In here you find, don't commit adultery, don't kill people and all that stuff. And then verse 18, jump to verse 18. It's just amazing. You must not murder, you know, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor, you must not covet your neighbor's wife's house. I mean, it goes on. It says, verse 18, then when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram horn, when they saw the flashes of lightning and smoke blowing from the mountain, can you imagine the scene? It's like God's showing up. Oh, Lord. Thank you, God, for the cross. For 400 years, God remained silent, didn't say a word until him and Jesus worked something out. Then he agreed that Jesus will come and rescue the world. And right now, Jesus is coming back. When Jesus comes back, No one can withstand, can stand before his judgment. See, now as we speak, God's not judging anyone. It's his love that leads people to repentance, not his judgment. And we are not to judge the world. Now, we are to judge each other. Now, if you call yourself a Christian, if you tell me you're a follower of Christ, and you're being so mean, so rude, you're cheating people, you're stealing, you're lying. You know, if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you're sleeping together. If you're doing adultery and all that stuff, and you call yourself a Christian, now, according to the word, I can call you, not judging you, but ask you, you know, what's going on, brother? You know, how is that possible? You know, and that's where people go, well, you're not supposed to judge me. Well, let me tell you, the word judge, in that word, it means accountability. You ought to keep me accountable. That's it. The world, let them deal, let God deal with them. We love. We love, we accept them where they are, we pray. Okay, we speak the truth, not your truth or my truth. There's no such a thing. This is the truth. And then, this is what happened, the end of verse 18. And they 19, they said to Moses, you speak to us. And we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die. And Moses is like, guys, you don't know God. God really reveal yourself, himself to you, so you can have what they call the reverence, the awe. That's what happened in the book of Acts. It says there was a sense of awe, of reverence. God here doesn't mess around with sin. Chapter 5, for those of you who read Acts already, we're going to get there, the story with Ananias and Sapphira. Thank God for the cross. I wonder how many of us would be dead already, including me. Thank God for the cross. God has been very patient with me. Remember those days we didn't get it? We didn't get it. You know, we had one foot in the world, one foot in the church. But God still give us mercy and grace. The people trembled. I'm reading it again. It says, do not fear. Moses said, verse 19, for God has come to prove you that the fear of him may be before your eyes, that you may not sin. More than ever nowadays, we need a fresh, I pray that over my life, I pray that over God's church, we need a fresh outpouring of the fear of the Lord. You need a new revelation of what it means to fear God, to fear him in all you do. What does the fear of the Lord mean in our daily life? I told you last week, what does the fear of the Lord mean when you feel like you want to be selfish? Anybody ever felt like that? Don't raise your hands, but you know. If you're like me, yeah. Feel like that. You just want to be selfish today. You know? You're driving selfishly. You at work, you're selfish. At home, you're just selfish. It's all about me. Me, me, me. I don't give a whip about anybody else. It's all about me. And that caused you to be so mean. That caused you to be rude and misrepresent the kingdom. Because remember, God still has you here on earth to represent the kingdom. As a matter of fact, it says in 1 Corinthians, we are ambassadors. We've been called ambassadors. See, here in verse 19, Moses was telling the people to get rid of the fear of coming close to God. The tendency people have when they feel, maybe I'm in darkness or I don't have it together. I don't need to get closer to God. Or I'm not going to church. You know, when you feel down, what do? You run away from church. You know, Or even sometimes people that are part in the family, when you're going through some tough time, you build a wall around you. You know, you're not a hedge, just a wall. You buy some blocks, you know, you take your time in your room and you build this little wall around you. Guess what? If you do that, you'll die sooner. Let me tell you what the Bible says to do. That's what Moses said here. What he was telling the people, the fear that Moses wanted them to keep in front of them, in front of their eyes, is God is fearfully powerful and opposed to sin. God opposed to a life of darkness. God doesn't like it. God and sin doesn't go together. You know, and I think that's why even some of the world, they say, well, the church is not showing acceptance, because they want the Bible, they want to twist this so we don't call sin sin. A thief is a thief. Okay? You accept people, like people that get married, like same sex and stuff, yeah, but that's sin. That's their lifestyle. That's their choice. But that is sin. You're so welcome here. We'll love you to death. Family feast will eat with you. There is no difference. But guess what? Just like if you're sitting here and you're a liar, you must repent. Because that's sin. If you're sitting here, you're such a hypocrite. You must repent. That's it. Because God knows your heart. I don't know your heart. Your neighbor don't know your heart, but he sees your heart. So our responsibility is to remain true to the word, but yet love you. I tell you, if the world would know the truth, the church of Christ is the place where people are belong. Everybody's welcome here. Everybody. Because I can't change you. Or you can't even change yourself. Yeah? You can't even change yourself. But once you open up yourself to the power of Christ, you let him in, you submit to the authority of the word of God, you obey him, and then there's a transformation that happened in your spirit, first of all. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And then the word transformed the way you start thinking. You start thinking like Christ. That's what Moses was telling the people. Say, guys, you need to keep in front of your eyes that God doesn't mess with sin. God and holiness goes hand in hand. And at the beginning, anybody in the church that was trying to, you know, twist the truth, like Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they lied. Right away, the Lord killed them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine in one service? That service back in Acts chapter 5, right away, Sapphira showed up and lied to God. And then Peter got a word of wisdom saying, why did you cause Satan to allow you to make this choice to lie to God? Right away she fell. Beep, heart attack. Beep. Can you imagine? That church, you know what would happen to it? Everybody would have never show up, or a lot of God-fearing people would show up. Let me remind you this. We still serve the same God. Sometimes when I read that story in Acts, I'm like, Lord, thank you for not killing me. Thank you for giving me. Thank you for not Ananias and Sapphira me. Thank you for not doing that to me, Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord, why didn't you give him a chance? You know, like, God, in your justice, why didn't you really give him a last chance? That's why I'm telling you, if you're listening to my voice today and your life is not right with God, make it right. Make it right. Get in line with the Holy Spirit. If you have darkness in your life, if you feel like your fire, your passion for God, you have no passion for him. Beg, beg. Come to the sanctuary. Come to the sanctuary. Come, call me. Say, I need Jesus. Lord, I need you. I need my fire come alive. I need my passion to come alive, Lord. I need to not fix my eyes on people. I need to fix my eyes on you, to keep my eyes on you, because you are coming back. That's the fear of the Lord. This is what it says in verse 49, in Acts, one of the verses, it says, great awe, sense of awe fell on everybody. Everybody was in reverence for God. And that's what I pray for our church. I pray that we would be a people who fear God. I pray that you would be a Christian who has reverence for God. You don't need me to keep telling you what to do. I only see you once a week, maybe. You need to listen on a daily basis the voice of the Holy Spirit to live a life ready. Do you have your passport ready? Do you have a ticket? People get ready. There's a train coming. Do we do that song? Don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith, right? You need that faith to hear that diesel engine. Because the trumpet will sound. And God is coming for pure church. He's coming for pure bride. He's coming for people who are devoted to the apostles' teaching, not washed down teaching. I've heard a preacher said this week, he says, you know what? God is doing it. There's a couple, young couple who came to the pastor. He's like, well, pastor, would you please pray a blessing over our lives? You know, and they said, this is what we're doing. We just want a blessing. We just want you. You know, as a man of God, we know what you confess is blessed, and we just want that. I mean, hallelujah. What an opportunity for the man of God to bless them. I mean, I love opportunities like that. But right away, before the pastor prayed, you know, he put his hands on them, and he just waited a little bit. And then the Holy Spirit told him, don't pray. Ask them, can God bless a sinful life? Can God bless sin? The pastor couldn't understand why, you know, but he's being obedient. He says, well, this is what I sense. Are you guys married? Oh, no, we're not married. We're just living together. Okay, so you're living in sin, fornicating a couple times a week, and then you're thinking, oh, Jesus, forever God is faithful, forever God is, and then you're living in fornication? You know what they did? They flipped the pastor. They give him the middle finger and walk off. They came up for prayer. But then the pastor's like, guys, let's be honest. Don't waste your time. If your life is not right with God, God is a divine fire. He's a consuming fire. He's a holy God. He loves you. He loves me. He gives us access to him through the blood of Jesus. But when we come, we repent. We don't come and say, Daddy, you know what? Won't you give me, you know, this kid, you know, just disrespecting their parents. And then they want Daddy to buy them this car. Doesn't work. It says, may this book do not apart from your lips. Know exactly the instruction of this book so you can conduct your life according to the instructions. And then you will be blessed in all you do. As I tell you, ask God to give you ear. We sing earlier, open the eyes of my understanding. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes so when you speak, I would not become a stiff-necked person. But when you speak, I would listen. I'd listen. I was like, okay, the Lord spoke. God, I don't want to do it, but I know this is what's going to be good for me. Ask God to give you a heart to obey his word. Obey his word no matter what. I'm going to obey. This is what the word says. I'm going to obey. Oh, I'm going to trust and obey. This is what the word says. I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. So Moses was telling them, fear God, because God doesn't mess around. If you're running from God because you're afraid of him, then you're not yet afraid of the way you should. Because when you read the book of Revelation, oh my goodness. After, we've been reading the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, chapter 4 talks about, the church and stuff. And then you get to chapter 4 to chapter 20. I'm like, man, sometimes we talk about it. I'm like, man, thank God, man, I won't be here. I don't have to deal with that. Wow. Thank God, I don't have to deal with the fact that I don't have to deal with what's coming up. Last week, I already touched on what the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is fleeing from the deeds of darkness. When you fear God, you run away from the deeds of darkness. I'm going to go back to Acts. Here where it says, they devoted themselves. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and sharing the meal. And that part, that sharing the meal, it says, it says including the Lord's Supper. So every time they got together, they took communion. Every time you take communion, not only are you announcing the death of Christ, you're announcing his resurrection, you are also announcing his return. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, anyone who has this eager expectation that Jesus will return will keep themselves pure. You keep yourself pure. And I tell you, you don't have to look for stuff to corrupt you now. It knocks. It's opening up. My philosophy is the birds flies everywhere, but you can prevent the birds from building a nest in your front door. They will try. Or you can create a beautiful flower pot for them, buy them a bird feeder. That's the same thing with corruption. Don't build a bird feeder for corruption because you're going to invite them. Don't got this little blue, beautiful flower, that's going to attract the birds. I see, some of you ladies, that's what you do, You're so good at it. You're helping the birds. Hallelujah. Don't do that with corruption. You not only you run away from it, but you do everything in your power to not allow the bird corruption build a nest in your house, near your camp. Fearing God means to worship him, to stand in awe, to respect him. You place him first in your life. Then you have a desire to please him more than to please people. Let me break it down to you again, guys. I love you. Man, you know it already. I love you guys. I think of you. I pray for you. But I fear God more than you. I won't please you. I'm not here to please anybody. I'm here to please God. If you have a problem with this, you go to God. You deal with it. But you can always come talk with me. Don't run away. I'm an open door. You can always talk to me. I pray for pastors. I know pastors. I met a guy this week. We were talking, and he's like, yeah, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He looked at me. He paused, and then he kind of smiled a little bit. He says, oh, that's tough business. He kind of felt bad for me. It was so sad. It was just like, and I said, why do you say that? I know it's tough business, but I said, why do you say that? He says, oh, I know, because I've got a lot of pastor friends. He said, they vent to me. And then he's like, oh, I pray for you. It's tough business. It is tough business, especially as the day of the Lord gets nearer and nearer. But I say, bring it on. That's why I'm going to Jesus, I'm going to hold tight to Jesus. I'm going to hold tight to the cross. I'm going to hold tight to the presence of God. That's it. I'm not going to look from the right, from the left, from the right. I'm going to keep my eyes on Christ, on the cross. I'm going to keep my head in the Word. With my woman by myself, I'll tell you, what else do I need? I'm very thankful for her. Fearing God goes hand in hand with serving Him, loving Him with all your mind, with all your strength, obeying Him. That's why we're giving you an opportunity. If you fear God, look for ways to serve your church. Don't just come to church. Don't say, I've been there, done that. I've done that already. We need help. We need help with the cameras. We need help singing. We need help. If this is your church, well, if you can sing, I know some of you have the desire to sing it, but you can't sing. You are a joyful noise. I get it. But, you know, but if you can sing, if you're techie, you know, we need your help. Just look, fearing God is serving God. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't feel like doing it. But fearing Him is looking for the opportunities. Okay, where can I serve? I can serve there. That's what I'm talking about. A great sense of awe fell upon them. And I pray this verse every day. This past week I said, God, baptize this place with a great sense of awe. Great sense of reverence, that everybody would feel you. Everybody would operate. I thank God for some God-fearing men and women we have in our midst. I tell you, we have some people in this church from day one who never give up through it all. I thank God for the mountains and the valleys. Sometimes they want to give up. Man, you guys never give up. People left. They left you. Don't think God doesn't take note. He sees. He sees your faithfulness. And since I got here, I'm looking at you. I'm like, you know what? We do have some faithful people here. We do have some God-fearing people. And I thank the Lord for you. I do. I honor you. And still, even if they feel like they can't do it, they're still doing it. They're still like doing a lot of things. But that's why we're trying to tell you, hey, we need you. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I'm going to continue next week. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our desires. You know what we need. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for all those times. You know, we operate outside of the fear of the Lord. We did. Alyssa, come play the piano. I want to take a couple minutes just to give some of you a time to respond to God's word this morning. If you need to repent, if you need to come to the Lord, whatever you need to do today, I just want to create that time window before we continue to fellowship in the next room. Seriously, guys, if you heard God's spoke to your heart this morning and you're asking, well, what must I do? This is your opportunity right now.